Murata, you had something to share? You can go ahead.
Can you guys hear me? Okay. As Randy was talking about the four different groups, I guess the scripture that the Lord brought to my mind was Galatians chapter 6, where it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." And I know the situation there is not exactly the same, but it's almost like the Spirit was saying to me, it doesn't matter if you're in the knowledge group or the weak group or the let's all get along group. The only thing that matters is a new creation. But to take that out of the realm of just teaching, I never tied verse 17 to this, where it says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And I was just, it's almost like Paul is saying, this thing has got to be real. Take a look at me. And I don't know if that's the context or not, but if we're walking according to this reality of Christ crucified, getting out of each one of those groups except for the reality of it being worked in us, there's going to be marks, there's going to be a reality, there's going to be a suffering. So that was what I had.
Okay. Sharon, did you have anything to share?
Not really, just glad to be with y'all.
Let's see, Nicole, did you have anything?
No, thank you.
And Doug Fisher, do you have anything?
No, I'm just enjoying it. Thank you. Next time.
And we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We've been going over the four views of four different groups. Wow, 40 classes. Wonder how many classes I've taught in 40 years. Yeah. All right. And we were going over the Christ crucified view based on those who function by his life. And again, the reason why I worded this particular group, and this, by the way, this is part two of what, the last class. We're continuing that one. And this will be the final class on this course on 1 Corinthians. It's worded like that because of our tendency to join a group instead of being transformed into the image of Christ. And I don't want to just be of a certain teaching. I don't want to do that. I want to know the Lord. And I want that same Jesus formed in me. And I got a long way to go. But I'm believing with your prayers and the work of the Holy Spirit that God can get down the road further. I don't want to be in a group of Christ crucified teaching. I want Christ crucified living in me. And when I say living in me, I mean controlling my attitudes and controlling my reactions. Lord told me the other day, and he didn't have anybody in mind. In fact, I'm sure it applies to probably several of us. The Lord told me the other day to say to you, and I believe this was from his heart, that some of us need to reevaluate our attitudes and our actions and reactions and be vigilant to pursue Christ crucified. if someone is tender-hearted, they'll hear that, but there's a good chance if they're tender-hearted, they're already pursuing. And if you're hard-hearted, you won't hear it. And you know, so that's why I'm making the point of saying, I really did hear that as a shepherd for this body. I heard the Lord say that in our relationships and in our the things that we are responsible for in terms of ministry, and that we fill those responsibilities with Christ crucified, and not just be busy for God. Y'all know what I mean. And that's basically it. Okay, so Romans 14:16 is, and that goes along with 1 Corinthians 10:30. He says in that, why am I evil spoken of for what I do towards the Lord? Why? Your good is evil spoken of if you let it be based on self-centered actions. That's what Paul says. I don't know. It just blows my mind, folks, that good can be evil spoken of and considered. It's not just, and we need to understand, this is not just evil spoken of. God calls it evil. It is evil if you do this knowingly, doing it for yourself and hurting someone else, because that's not Christ crucified. You see what I'm saying? But things affect me. It just blows my mind to think that your good is being turned into evil because of your self-centered approach and because of your putting yourself before other people. Ah, this goes back to that whole tree of the knowledge of good and evil thing, tree of life thing. Good or evil is relative in light of Christ crucified. It's good is evil if it's self-centered. It is all off the same tree and the same root. There is no, even the knowledge group said this. There is nothing unclean of itself, or there is, you know, all things are lawful. There is nothing evil in itself. And, you know, in the sense of what we always think, well, just avoid all the evil things. In a certain sense, it's, even though it's good, it's of the same root. Our thinking has to change. Our mind has to be renewed. Is it Christ crucified? And then I also wrote down, you got to exercise your personal liberty while caring nothing for others first. And then Romans 14:18, approval by brothers and God comes by conformity to Christ crucified. And I can't remember if I used that one. But the question, maybe you don't remember, we're in the midst of the question being, where is it? Is eating things offered to idols okay? Is eating things offered to idols okay? And the response that Paul gives basically in Romans 14:20 is, really? Is food what it's all about? Though there's nothing wrong with eating, there is something wrong or evil with the man who eats knowingly, putting himself first. I mean, he would never use that wording, but, well, can't we just eat? There are no idols, you know? And he goes, really? Is food really, you know, is that really what it's all about to you? You know, where's Christ? Where's the life of Christ? Where's the selfless nature of Christ? Where is that which makes us different by your love you have one for another? Well, what is that? Selfless giving. Shall they know that you are my disciples? So Paul's just appalled. Paul is appalled. And I think more of us need to read Paul and become appalled. Romans 14:21 with 1 Corinthians 8:13. What is truly considered good is to not do anything that offends or causes him to stumble. If you want to do something good, do that. Because that's what he said. What is good is, because they're saying, well, this is good. There's nothing wrong. I'm not doing evil. I'm doing good. And he said, well, you want to do something good, don't do anything that causes your brother to stumble. And then Romans 14:22, do you have faith to eat in this manner, in this matter? Good. Make that faith between you and God. Yes, it is a good thing you are not condemned by eating, because whoever eats doubtingly is condemned without faith. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, because that's Christ. Not because it's the proper Christian teaching. Okay. Oh, I feel bad. I violated the Christian teaching. I wouldn't want to violate the Christian teaching. No, we don't seem to have any problem trampling Christ crucified, but we're very, you know, the Pharisees were very particular about not violating the letter. Yes, did you have your hand up, or was somebody else? I thought I saw a hand, probably on Skype. I thought I saw. Anyway, all right, let's go to the next issue. The next issue is, what about the freedoms, rights, and liberty Jesus gave us through his resurrection? What about that? I mean, we got rights, liberty, freedom. What about that? Your approach is putting me under the law. You're putting me under bondage. You know how I know all this stuff? Because when I went into Bible school, that was why I saw everything. It's like, you know, at a certain juncture, me and a bunch of young Jesus freak hippies that were part of a Bible school that was bigger than us, started praying, you probably were in on it, started praying for a person just in the middle of the service, as if the service was going along, and with all this praying and yelling and laying on our hands, and da 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 da, and the whole service is like, what's going on here? Got loud, and basically we took over the service, and somebody had the audacity to say, could y'all go back to the prayer room and do that? That way we can continue with what the Lord's doing here. I'm shocked that they would quench the spirit, you know. And I went through all sorts of stuff. Do you remember that, Deb? That's because you started it. And I know that now. I'm not under such condemnation. But, no, she didn't. I'm joking. I probably did. I probably did. But I remember the offense that I felt, and I thought they were putting me back under the law, and all of they're trying to do is flow with the greater thing instead of what we're doing, but to see that there's a bigger picture than us just taking over all of a sudden, and, you know. So I'm not going to try to explain all that. Most of you probably gotten upset sometime or another over that kind of stuff. All right, the knowledge group, group one. It's the knowledge group, and they're going to respond about what about the freedoms, rights, and liberties Jesus gave us through his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 10:23a and 29-30, we've been given liberty by Christ. All things are lawful, There's nothing inherently wrong with eating. Romans 14:14a. Why is my liberty judged by another man's weak conscience and my rights taken away? What I do to the glory of God, to show others the freedom we have been given. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It all sounds so good until Paul gets appalled. It all sounds so right. And it is good and right, but it's not Christ crucified. You say, I've heard that before. I was told when I was teaching school, taught in private school, third grade first and junior high and some of those things, that a kid has to hear something 26 times before they get it. Well, that's why mamas are always saying, no! Stop that. So, that's my justification for repeating this over and over and over to you. What you cannot argue with is that it is right what they're saying, it's just not Christ. And if you don't know the difference, you'll never get it. You'll always stand up for your rights and never lay down your rights in the manner of Christ. Let this mind be in you, who thought it not something to be grasped after to be equal with God, but made himself. Let that mind be in you. We say, well, if God humbles me, I'll be humble. But, well, he can do that, I guarantee. You know, if you're not going to, I mean, he's got your number. Somebody said to me, God's got your number. And I said, yeah, I just ain't answering. I ain't picking up. The weak group. Responding to what about the freedoms, rights, and liberty Jesus gave us through his resurrection? If I am weak in the faith, you should not try to convince me of a freedom I have to do, of a freedom that I have to do by pushing me into it. It is not eating that is the problem, but your insistence to exercise your liberty. They may be weak, but they sure can talk. All right, then the everybody get along group. We all have freedom in Christ and choose to exercise them in different ways. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not about food or what we drink, but about getting along joyfully, peacefully, and in one accord. God loves us all. You have freedom to eat, and you have freedom not to eat. See? There's no cause for putting one another down. God's the only one who can judge. Romans 14:12, Romans 14:3-4, stop judging. If both are acting in faith and honoring God by their actions, then they will both be accepted by God. Romans 14:2-10. Sounds good again. By the way, I have twisted some of those scriptures to fit the why don't we all get along, because in truth that's not what they're saying. All right. So far we've heard three of the four sides, and man, they all sound right. They all sound good. They all have validity. Well, it doesn't matter about validity. It only matters about Christ crucified. Is it, God wants to know, is that my son or is that you? And I want to know of your motive. Is your motive selfless? Or is your motive secretly to have your way? So you're pushing the blame on the weak, saying, well, you know, you ought to know better, and you ought to know the Bible, and you ought to know that there's no idols, just God, and you ought to know all this stuff. They're doing that to stand up for their rights so that they can get what they want. Well, most people don't see into people's motives that easily, that much. God does. Apparently Paul did too, because he's looking at it and he's going, this is not the Lord. And that's his whole premise. Not just chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, not just chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, or 7 or 6 or five or four or three or two or one. The whole book is about that. And he's heading towards, we'll never get there, but he's heading towards 1 Corinthians 13. Love, selfless giving is the greatest. So the Christ crucified as life person, I will restrict my own freedom, rights, and liberty for others. You know, it just occurred to me, oh my God, we are not going to get into 1 Corinthians 9. And 1 Corinthians 9 is the one that blows this liberty thing out of the water. I don't mean just addresses it. It blows it out of the water. Makes me want to read it right now. Am I not an apostle? I've got rights. Am I not free? I'm free. I'm not under bondage. Have I not seen Jesus? Are ye not my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. He's telling them he has rights. For the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Mine answer to them who examine me is this. Have we no right to eat and to drink? Have we no right to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord? Or I only and Barnabas, have we no right to forbear working? But then he says, and so he's going, and who goes to war without, you know, at his own expense? Who planteth the vineyard? Who eateth fruit? Say I these things as a man, or not only that, but the law, the scripture says it too. Just like the knowledge group. This is what the scripture says, that you shouldn't muzzle the ox. And he's, man, he's really going at it here. And saith he all together for our sakes? And he says that that he's talking about us. And if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing that we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partaker of this right, anybody notice how often he's talking about his rights? Over you are not we rather? Nevertheless, here he turns. He has spent 11 verses laying it on them that he's got more rights than they do as an apostle. Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but we bear all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ, meaning the selfless nature. Do ye not know that they who minister of holy things, he's again showing from the scripture. He's saying this is scriptural. I have a scriptural right to this. I have an office right as an apostle. He's coming at every good and godly right and establishing it clearly to these guys. But he says, nevertheless, I have not used my rights. He's continuing on, verse 14, verse 15. But then he says, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me, if that's not my motivation, in other words. For it were better for me to, what's the next word going to be? Die, than that any man should make my glorying void, meaning that my glory is in the cross of Christ. He says that. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. If I do this thing willingly, here we go. I'm looking for a particular one here that really says it. Yes. Verse 19, for though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. They get the gain. They get the benefit. I'm the servant. I go into death. I give up my rights. It's Christ crucified to me. I'm not looking for my rights and my liberties and my freedoms that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross. I'm not looking for the benefits of resurrection. I'm looking for the nature that went to the cross and died. And here I thought we'd never cover chapter 9. But I mean, is that not laying it out, folks? I mean, that you can't get any more clear than that. You know, he's been sort of pity padding around with them in chapter 8. In chapter 9, he shows, look, guys, not just Jesus died and gave up all his rights so that you would benefit. Now you're going against that spirit, but I'm doing the same thing. And I think there might even be a little bit more here. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain them. Again, he's lowering himself. And let me tell you, he has liberty and freedom in Christ. He's a son of God by Christ, but he's becoming as a Jew that he could reach them. And he's becoming as a Gentile that he could reach them. He's not a Gentile. That goes against his grain as a Jew. But he is going down just like Jesus became sin. He's going down into all of that. And he's doing it for them. And to them that are without the law as not having the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means benefit all men. It says saved, but that's just the end result. It's the point of life coming out of death. You see that? It's not just I'm trying to save people. He's not saying I'm preaching everywhere and trying to save people. He's saying I'm going down lower and lower. And that's how I believe this thing's going to come about. For this I do for the gospel's sake. See, there's a lot more here that I could say, but I'm glad the Holy Spirit reminded me of that, because that is an incredible chapter where Paul is just telling them straight out. He's just saying, look, you know, I know this sounds foreign to you because you live off of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you've been choosing the good route for a long time. So you think it's okay. But it's not. You think I haven't eaten one piece of evil fruit off of that tree. I'm doing good. And he's saying, you don't even know what's good to God. This is my beloved son going into death. And though I am free from all, I am free. See, he didn't say it, I have to do this. He says, I'm free. I don't have to do this. I do this because it's Christ crucified to me. This is the way, and this is what he's saying to them. And this is the way you're supposed to be proceeding also. And then we go into chapter 10, some of the stuff that we've covered there. All right. So in 1 Corinthians 8:13, I will restrict my own freedom, rights, and liberties for others. Romans 14:17, kingdom living is not about freedom to, or not about freedom for outward things, but having inward grace. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. The kingdom of God is not eating at a table, a feast dedicated to idols, but you say there's no idols, so I get to have the feast. The kingdom of God is not that. It's being in right standing with God through Christ crucified, and it's having righteousness, peace. It's having peace between one another and laying down your life so that peace might come, and joy in the Lord and in these things. That's what the kingdom of God is that he's saying there. And so and then Romans 14:19, love builds the temple together, but personal rights divide and hurt the body. Now he said that throughout, hadn't he? Starting in the third chapter. Love builds the temple together. Together, there's a group of people known as temple builders. They lay down their life because that's what they do. That's how the temple is being built. But personal rights divide and hurt the body. 1 Corinthians 8:9-11, your liberty is his stumbling block. Your liberty is his stumbling block. That's what he said. 1 Corinthians 8:9-11. Your knowledge is what's destroying a brother. Check it out. 1 Corinthians 8:9-11. It says that. Your knowledge is what's destroying the brother. Well, this is knowledge of the Bible. Well, this is knowledge of the truth. It's not the truth. It's truths. Christ is the truth. Christ crucified is the truth. Sorry, You know, like I said, this is something that I want to live. All right, let's do one more. How much time we got? Yes, sir. I could have taken longer on that last one, couldn't I? All right, this will be hopefully the last issue that we talk about. Does knowledge dictate the issue? Now that may just sound like a sentence until you start realizing how you perceive. Well, if this is, because remember, knowledge is your belief system. Remember, that was, you believe that there's only one God. You believe that there is no idol. You are not tripped up by that. Folks, that's just Bible knowledge. That's not God's truth as known by Christ. That is truths. And, you know, and let me make it clear. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. But Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, not a bunch of religious truths formulated together into a compact set of doctrines and living according to them doing it without Christ, except for as your helper from above. Did you have your hand up?
What I was thinking is the knowledge, the difference between knowledge and knowing God. One's having knowledge of God, but one's knowing God.
Yeah.
And you will walk differently to when you're...
Right. Amen. And I believe if you're really knowing the Lord, you're going to be fulfilling the spirit of what that was all about in the first place. But if you're walking according to the letter, you're already out of whack with God, because you're under the old covenant again. All right. So does knowledge dictate the issue? And I would say that for me and a lot of other people for years and years, knowledge was what it was all about. That if the Word of God says that, then that's the way it is. Well, that's true. I'm not putting that down, but we need to see the living Word, Jesus. Okay? All right, so group one is going to speak. May the group leader for the knowledge group come to the microphone and tell us about, does knowledge dictate the issue? I've been in the Word, and I know what it says. We know that an idol is nothing. There is no other God. I also know, and based on what I know, am persuaded that there's nothing unclean of itself. That I know that food is not going to defile me, and it won't defile you either. Stop being such babies over this issue. Even Paul agrees with our knowledge. 1 Corinthians 10:19. Does that sound good? Believe it or not, I wrote every one of these, by the way. I took the time to get into the mind of every one of these people, and now I think I've got several personalities. But I'm sure you'll be praying for me to get through this. Was that convincing, though? What he said? Because it's true. It's not wrong. What was just said by the knowledge group about, does knowledge dictate the issue? Clearly, for the knowledge group, it does dictate the issue. All right. The weak group. Group number two. Will the leader for the weak group come to the microphone? Your knowledge is the problem. 1 Corinthians 8:7. There is not that knowledge, she said, change voices, so. There is not that knowledge in all of us. We are impressed with your knowledge, so when we see knowledge people sit down at an idol's table, we feel constrained to do the same thing. They feel the pressure of the puffed up. I know some of you here have felt the pressure of the puffed up. Well, actually, the puffed up happened to be here tonight. But anyway, There are. Just kidding. Just kidding. All right, let's go ahead and move to the everybody get along group. Group three. The Bible tells us not to judge. Romans 14:5. Look, one group esteems the way of knowledge, and the other esteems the way of conscience. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. We can have differences without division. Sounds good to me. Sounds right. Based on a lot of different scriptures, it's not Christ. It's not Christ crucified. And ultimately, it's not what Paul is trying to get across to everyone. All right. Finally, group four, the Christ crucified is life. There is a higher standard than biblical knowledge. We know we have knowledge, 1 Corinthians 8:1-3. We know we have knowledge. Knowledge puffs us up. Your knowledge is the problem, 1 Corinthians 8:11. It is actually through the instrumentality of your knowledge that you are violating Christ crucified. Now, folks, the knowledge isn't the problem, but us being puffed up over it and acting outside of Christ is the real issue. Do you see that? Because the Bible knowledge is not wrong, but it's what it does to us where we think we know something by Bible knowledge. But when you know Christ, you know, people say, well, that group there at Acts Bible School or New Creation, well, they think they're something. Folks, if you see Jesus, you know you're not something. You are convinced that he's everything. And you will say that regularly. And it doesn't matter. People will still get, those people think they're something. And you're going, it's not us. We're nothing. Oh, they don't really mean that. No. If you really see Jesus, oh, wretched man that I am. I am a man of unclean lips. I like Daniel's response. He just got sick and threw up when he saw who he really was in life. Well, he did. He just got sick and threw up. And went, oh, my God, I make myself sick. I looked in the mirror and it, ugh, you know. Okay. So, if you think you know, let's see, am I there yet? If you think you know anything, you know nothing even close to fullness. And that's what he says, 1 Corinthians 8:2. 1 Corinthians 1-3, you have knowledge, it's not enough, love is better. He didn't say don't have knowledge, he never said don't have knowledge. He says love is better, the greatest of these, all right? And if you know all mysteries and da-da-da-da, it is nothing if you don't have love. If you understand all mysteries and all prophecies, you'd be so puffed up, nobody could deal with you. But he says it's nothing if you don't have selfless, sacrificial ways by Jesus Christ, by Christ crucified. The only knowing that counts is if God knows you, and that's what it says. So you know this, but, you know, does God know you? But that is only the case when you walk in selfless love and not in prideful knowledge. All right. Even though I've got more time, our clock is getting away from us. So here's... I'm just going to read a little bit here. No more questions, no more four groups, just a few thoughts. The truth is there is no acceptance group. There is no everybody get along group. While Paul mentions these things, they are not the basis for settling the issue. They are not. Many of the verses used for standing on the side of the acceptance group were misread by me. They were. Because when he says to have peace, that there be peace, he's not talking about everybody get along. He's talking about everyone live according to Christ crucified. You check it out. The context is there. And I used 1 Corinthians 8:8 wrong intentionally because I could read those wrong or you could read those wrong and think this is what it's saying and never see the cross, never see Jesus. We see the Bible, we see knowledge. Jesus says don't judge. Jesus says get along. I don't need Jesus' life to do that. I'm just going to order my life in such a way that I'm just an amiable person. And that really works well for people that generally are amiable people. But it doesn't work too well for people who have attitudes generally, you know. So we gravitate. Well, I like telling people off, so I'm going to join the knowledge group. Well, I just don't like confrontation. So I'm going to join the let's all get along group. Is that what I call it? Everybody get along group. Well, I'm just too weak to get in the whole thing. Why don't y'all just all adjust to me? You know. So, anyway, I have a whole slate of scriptures here that I actually perverted to fit the everybody get along group when they're not really saying that. Okay, so somebody will eventually one day cut this out, put it with a whole bunch of other stuff and make me sound, well, I guess what I am. What's been said of me? All right. But there are other questions, and I just didn't get a chance to do this. I mean, this was one of the most concentrated searches and preparation for this class that I've done in a long time. I mean, I really, this 1 Corinthians class, I gave myself to the Lord, and I gave my time to the Lord in this. But one of the other questions is, there is nothing unclean. Okay, and then approaching that from all four points of view. Another one is the issue of the temple, because that's all seen from four points of view. Another one is from the knowledge group's perspective, why is all the criticism coming to we who are strong when they have the problems? I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe y'all don't think the way I do, so you would never think of stuff like this. Thank God. But, you know, and that is a clear statement by a knowledge group member, by one who's puffed up. Why is all the criticism coming to we who are strong when they have the problems? This shouldn't be coming our way. Okay. Well, it's not criticism of you. I'm sorry. And I put myself in the knowledge group just like Paul does. It's not criticism of us. It is not. It is not at all criticism. It can be read as that, but it's not. It is Paul trying to bring us all to a new standard called Christ crucified. He's not being critical. He didn't say knowledge was wrong. He said knowledge is good, didn't he? I mean, think about it. The wording. He never really, but where his emphasis is and where his heart is, you know, and he's, you know, it's not trying to rebuke everybody. It's trying to bring everyone to the standard called Christ and Him crucified. That's all he's trying to do. Unlike many people, he's not tearing everybody else down to lift up his viewpoint. He's saying, that's good, that's good, that's right, that's okay. And when we went through some of these things, every ounce of it sounded good and right. But in light of Christ crucified, folks, it misses the mark. It misses the mark. All group one misses the mark. Group two, not because they're wrong or evil, but their good is being evil spoken of and is falling into the category of evil because their motives are not Christ, their motives are to have their rights because they know they have rights and they want their rights. And the only way they're going to get them is to demand them and stand up for them. Jesus didn't stand up for his rights. Jesus, you know, Pilate said, don't you know, why are you not speaking? Don't you know I can, let you live or I can send you to the cross, Jesus said, you have no power at all except it be given of God. Well, guess what? He surrendered to the cross. God did have the power to let him live, and God let his son go to the cross. Intentionally, happily. They love self-giving for others. They don't love all the junk. He despised the shame. But they, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, love that stuff. That is love to them. Selflessly pouring out. Bleeding. So that that blood could wash somebody who didn't deserve it. Who drew the blood. Man, that's the Lord. That's who he is. That's who's in you. That's who's in me. That's who came into us. And the teaching of the Bible is doing nothing short of just pointing us to the one who lives in us or who is supposed to live in us. That's all. That's all it's doing. It's not criticism. It's just lifting, well, you're being critical of my view because you're lifting Jesus higher than my emphasis. I am sorry, but I will continue to lift Jesus above everything else because God did. But I don't have to do it in a smart aleck attitude. Can I get amen on that? You can love people and you can die. You don't have to be puffed up. You can see the greater plan and you can embrace the Lord in the beauty of the cross. And in doing it, you can release something that cannot be released by any other means. You can increase the peace. You can increase the peace. It's only through that method. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our days together in this course. We ask you to begin to prepare our hearts and bless us, Father, in relationship to the book of Revelation and your take on that. We ask you to make this class like seeds that are falling into our ground that will bring forth fruit in years to come. Maybe we don't get it all now. Maybe we don't understand it all now. Maybe we don't see everything right now. But Lord, for some of us, our hearts burned. Didn't our hearts burn when your word was being shared? But they were not fulfilled until they saw Jesus for who he was. Father, just like Jesus disappeared there in Luke 24, may we see him in knowledge and in revelation, and then may he disappear from seeing him outwardly, and may it be according to the life that is within us now. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we look to you, Lord. We trust you, Father. You are our Father. Father us through these things. And build the temple. Build us as a habitation. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.